RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Time for another Wilms Report from Tim Wilms at theunshackled.net, Melbourne, Australia. Hey, Tim, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you, Paul. Great to be back again. We've got our tropical summer here in Melbourne. We've had some extremely hot days followed by some humidity. Must be this climate change or just Melbourne.
You're not complaining though, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm glad it's finally summer. Though yep. When it's a hot, dry day, the firefighters are on edge. That's the headline from the mainstream media.
Oh, yep.
Nothing's ever good.
No. All right, where do we start? Let's get an update on Alan Jones. More charges, right? Or more accusations, or are they charges?
So they are charges. So he was slapped with two additional charges in relation to a ninth victim. So it's 26 charges in total, all to do with alleged sexual groping between 2001 and 2019. So obviously it dominated the news for the first half of last week, where some of Alan Jones's former colleagues, such as Peter Credlin, have defended him, saying that this is not in line with the man that I know, while there's others such as Gina Reinhart who've scrubbed her endorsements of Alan Jones from her social media.
Yeah, it's a bit of a undignified kind of end to a very long, well, career and all sorts of, and notoriety and fame in Australia, dominating the media. Yeah, just what we're kind of watching right now.
Yeah, it definitely is. Though we've got to let the legal process take its course. It's certainly more people are going to find out just how slow the justice process is in Australia. Right.
Final week of Parliament set, am I right, 76 bills rammed through? And, what about that misdisinformation bill? Where is that at? A couple of questions there.
Yes, so they're trying to ram the Albanese government's 76 bills in the final week of Parliament. And obviously there's a lot of speculation, could this be the last sitting week before an election is called earlier next year? But as you alluded to, there's one bill that is not going to go through the parliament, and that is the misdisinformation bill. The communications minister, she released a statement yesterday that the communications legislation amendment combating misinformation and disinformation bill, they would not be proceeding with it. And she was quite sour grapes, Michelle Rowland, the communications minister. All of the crossbench said that they were voting against it, including former Greens Senator Lydia Thorpe and former Labor Senator Fatima Payman. Even the Greens party themselves, they soured on it, with their communications spokeswoman, Sarah Hanson-Young, calling on the government to withdraw it. So Michelle Rowland, she slammed the coalition because they committed to legislating safeguards when in government, but chose to place partisanship above any attempt to navigate the public interest. She said the government invites all parliamentarians to work with us on other proposals to strengthen democratic institutions and keep Australians safe online, or safeguarding values like freedom of expression. It is incumbent on democracies to grapple with these challenges in a way that puts the interests of citizens first.
Oh, yeah. You mean the interests of politicians first? Okay.
Yes.
Just decoding it. Yep.
She mentions the other proposals that they've got is legislation to strengthen offences targeting the sharing of non-consensual and sexually explicit deep fakes, and also a proposal to enforce truth in political advertising for elections. Of course, who decides who's the judge of truth in political advertising? You just know that that's going to be abused. There has been a stitch-up between the two major parties about having donation caps and spending limits to try and block out new entrants, such as the Teal Independent movements. Clive Palmer has said that he's already going to challenge it in the High Court. And so she finished off by saying, "Mis and disinformation is an evolving threat. No single action is a perfect solution, but we must continue to improve safeguards to ensure digital platforms offer better protections for Australians."
Right. So that's a win.
Yes.
For free speech.
Yeah, she is right that the coalition, Peter Dutton, after the Bondi stabbing, because there was an information vacuum until the police confirmed the identity of the perpetrator, Joel Cauchy, he did support it. And it was drafted by the previous Liberal Communications Minister, Paul Fletcher. So I never was convinced by Peter Dutton and his now Shadow Communications Minister, David Coleman, saying that this was a terrible piece of legislation anti-free speech because, well, they were the ones who first drafted it when they were in government.
Just listening to you just talking before, something caught my interest or attention, and that is deep fakes. Now, we're seeing them already, and anyone can kind of do anything with digital information now. So I wonder where you draw the line at what. Okay, so there'll be some comedic deep fakes. We'll tolerate that.
Well, yes, obviously, we've had Photoshop for many years where you can stick a face another person's body. Anthony Albanese has said that he's glad social media took down images of him. Put his face on other people's body.
But that's been around for ages. Photo editing's been there forever. Yeah, okay, this is a moving version of it. So what's in and what's out? It's a tough call.
Yes. Are they talking about the deep fakes where it can look almost if it's the human talking? I mean, we've all seen those hilarious AI voice clones of Joe Biden and Donald Trump saying silly things. I'm in favour of AI for satirical purposes. I think that's very hilarious. But of course, the politicians themselves are not amused.
No, because they'll be the target, some of them anyway, of that. And it could be highly funny. All right, what about the social media access law for under 16s? Where is that heading towards the same kind of fate as mis and disinformation, do you think?
Well, a lot of freedom activists, and I would say term them paleoconservatives. So I'm not sure if you're aware of the terminology. These are basically social conservatives who don't trust the government to be the moral enforcers.
I think I'm one of them.
And former Liberal Conservative Senator Corey Bernardi is another. He opposed in the previous Labor government, the Rudd-Gillard government, Communications Minister Stephen Conroy proposed an internet filter. And Corey Bernardi said he opposed it because he didn't want the government to decide what could be seen on the internet. And this is about controlling access to the internet because I've mentioned to your audience previously, how do you enforce age verification by verifying everyone's identity? We've seen now the legislation, the Online Safety Amendment, Social Media Minimum Age Bill 2024. It's only 17 pages, so the devil is in the detail, or should I say the lack of detail. The explanatory memorandum, which is how the minister thinks that the legislation ought to operate. So it still includes a very broad definition of social media, or what are age-restricted social media platforms. So an electronic service that satisfies the following conditions: the sole purpose or significant purpose is online social interaction. Service allows end users to link or to interact with other end users. The service allows end users to post material on the service. Such other conditions as are set out in the legislative rules. An electronic service specified in the legislative rules. So there is a lot of power given to the minister and the e-safety commissioner, Julie Inman Grant, to decree which social media platforms are included and excluded in the social media ban. It's not specified in the legislation, but the communications minister has said that what will be banned to under 16s is X, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Snapchat. I'm not sure if you've had the displeasure of seeing the new safe space for all of the leftists, the Alphabet activists, and all of the degenerates, Blue Sky. I assume that should be. YouTube is not going to be included in the.
That's interesting.
Age restriction.
Why YouTube? Eh? Have they already got filters?
There was a powerful intervention by the Wiggles of all. So he said that this would obviously, even though they Wiggles. Would be available on YouTube for kids, believed that this would limit children's access to entertainment. So continued access to instant messaging and online gaming platforms, that will be excluded as well, even though child grooming can occur in those as well. And also educational platforms such as Headspace will be excluded. So you may remember that Headspace, it was a South Australian school where a Headspace educator taught some students that one of the pluses in LGBTQ plus included bestiality.
Oh dear, and they're exempt. All right, that makes a lot of sense.
Yes, yes. And obviously
based on their track record.
Yeah, and there'll still be drag queens in the various public libraries, and as well as porn books. So the public were given last week 24 hours to make submissions, though 15,000 Australians still managed to make a submission during that time.
Wow, that's a good effort. Yep.
And only one day of public hearings yesterday.
Okay, you just make it all very difficult, compress the time frame, get people jumping and panicking, and then you can say, well, we did consult. We did consult.
But as I mentioned, we don't know what the age verification method will be, although the age verification powers are in the legislation. It says that because the onus is going to be on the platform, so they have to take reasonable steps to prevent age-restricted users from having accounts with an age-restricted social media platform. So what's reasonable steps? That is very vague. Now, the age information gathered for the purposes of age verification or age assurance, it's the same thing, basically. Consent must be voluntary, informed, current, specific, unambiguous. The individual must be able to withdraw consent in a manner that is easily accessible to the individual. Sounds like the COVID vaccines.
Yeah, look what happened there. All right, we've only got a few minutes left. Let's spin through a few things. Privacy Commission upset with Bunnings. What have Bunnings done?
Well, they used facial recognition to identify shoplifters and banned customers. And so, yes, how dare Bunnings do that? Only the government is allowed to collect facial recognition data, which that could be used. We don't know whether we'll be forced to give over biometric data, but facial recognition can still not guess a person's age, can't even guess if someone's a man or a woman.
I wonder if they'll get it down to, oh, he's a tradie. He's got the certain look of a tradie, so we know what to sell him.
Yes, I'm much more concerned about governments having all of our digital materials. We've got the Trust Exchange digital ID, and also what they're cooking up as well, the Albanese government, is a digital duty of care. So we haven't seen the legislation yet, but to keep Australians safe and better prevent
online
harms.
Oh, here we go.
Harms.
Safety again. Safety, safety, safety.
Yes, just like the COVID lockdowns and mandates were for our safety. There is going to be a coalition party room this morning because their backbenchers are copping a lot of backlash from Freedom advocates who, because I think that Australians, once they learn how, well, there's still going to be a year for them to sort
the
out.
They've sleeping got the giant
age,
awakes.
Age verification trial going yet. So there's a lot of detail. So
digital
I'm hoping
duty
that'll
of
be
care.
Like okay. The Voice with this social media age verification. It had broad support in the beginning because, we're helping parents do their jobs easier.
Yeah.
But
safety,
I have to get a digital ID to log into my social media account.
Yeah, that.
What? This? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm hoping that will be the case.
All right. Renaming a lake. This caused a stir. I think you might have mentioned this before.
Yes.
What's the latest?
Yeah, so in Melbourne's southeastern suburb of Berwick, so that's an area in the city of Casey where there's a lot of mass migration from the subcontinent. And the Allan State Labor government decided without consultation to rename Berwick Springs Lake to Guru Nanak Lake after the founder of Sikhdom. And there was a community meeting last Tuesday evening hosted by the local Liberal MP, Brad Batten, who's the Shadow Police Minister, and a Upper House Liberal MLC, Anne-Marie Hermans. Community members gathered to voice their disapproval about the lack of community consultation. Also in attendance, because it was a public meeting, was Thomas Sewell of the National Socialist Network and another prominent National Socialist activist, Joel Davis. They host a weekly live stream together along with several other of their members. Now, this didn't make the news until they mentioned on their live stream that they were at the meeting. And then it was reported in the Age newspaper, because you may remember the fact that Thomas Sewell and the National Socialist Network turned up to Kelly J. Keene's Let Women Speak in Melbourne way back in March 2023. That led to Moira Deeming's expulsion from the Liberal Party room, which has now played out in a defamation trial. Hopefully we get a verdict next month. So Brad Batten and Anne-Marie Hermans, they said that they left as soon as they noticed the National Socialist Network members there. They didn't have a banner or anything like that. They just turned up in their uniforms. The Premier, Jacinta Allen, she even released a press release saying, oh, what is it about these events attended by Liberal politicians attracting neo-Nazis? What's
trying
John
to link
Pesciuto?
Them to Nazis, right?
Okay. Yeah, and what's yeah, John Pesciuto sure. going to do about this, given the precedent that he set? And Moira Deeming also mentioned on X the same thing. She said, despite recent political precedents that have been set, my own position remains unchanged. Guilt by association is a harmful, reckless fallacy. As far as we know, Brad Batten and Anne-Marie Hermans, they haven't been called into a secret meeting by John Pesciuto and his leadership team that has been secretly recorded and ambushed, but it highlights the absurdity of the thing. A public meeting, anyone can turn up just because you're within proximity of some group.
Yeah, you're associated, yep.
The Liberals, it would be another electoral test for John Pesciuto, as well the defamation verdict. The Paran by-election will actually be a three-cornered contest. The inner Melbourne seat. It was held by the Greens' Sam Hibbins since 2014. He was forced to resign from the party room, then from Parliament, for a consensual sexual relationship with a staffer. He was married with children. So the Greens party have what we term in Australian politics, a bonk ban, where a politicians must not have sexual relations with their staffers. It's the Barnaby Joyce precedent, obviously his prominent affair with his media advisor, Vicky Campion, who he now is married to and has two sons with.
Well, that worked out all right then.
Yes, but that led to Malcolm Turnbull, the Prime Minister at the time, announcing the bonk ban, and so it's become a precedent since then. So the Greens haven't been doing very well recently in the Queensland and ACT elections. They didn't do well at the local government elections either. The City of Melbourne Lord Mayor Nicholas Rees won re-election, FYI. We don't know when this by-election will be held. Probably be held next year, but Labor will also contest it. So it could be an interesting test because the next state election in November 2026 will be closer than the last election, further away.
All right, we're done on time. Thank you, Tim. Talk in a week, eh?
Thank you, Paul.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.